Paladins in. What's it called?
So this guy probably reviewed our proposal, Christos Kazirakis. Said, well, look at my papers, right?
Sorry.
No problem.
What's your Google account?
There's something to charge my phone.
Oh.
What kind of connector you have?
It's the Samsung, the new
mini USB.
Show me.
Yeah.
This is micro USB, right?
Micro USB, yeah.
It's the same as your phone.
Yeah, so you're going to inaugurate my new charger.
This is water.
We'll check if it works.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were asking me what?
No, what's your Google account?
Kalegiri at Gmail. Thanks.
How do I know if it's charging?
It will do something.
Okay. It's dead, completely dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Ming has a list of papers that he's put in the Google Doc, and I guess the next step is to have brief summaries and how the work is related to what we're proposing.
Yeah, this weekend I'll look at the old proposal and see what needs to be fixed or changed.
Right. And I mean, when I'm reading this proposal in light of all of this new work, it's no good because we are saying things like that cash policies have not changed for decades, and current solutions do not minimize the additional. Well, actually, some of this is okay, but we have to be a lot more careful.
Yeah. New cash policies exist, but I don't think they're being used. Right? Is that true?
Yeah, but I mean, from a proposal standpoint,
we have to be a little more careful.
Yeah, we have to be more careful because
there are people who design those algorithms.
Yeah, they'll probably be reading
just say,
yeah,
you guys just wrote papers that no one looks at.
Yeah.
I think, as a matter of fact, one of the reviewers mentioned that. Yeah.
Well, what did that reviewer say?
He said, well, you can probably publish some papers, and well, somebody else could also publish some papers.
Yeah, that was a very interesting comment. They'll publish papers, and so will others, and I don't know what that really meant. Right.
No, I read that as saying it won't have an impact. You can publish stuff. That's not all that you do.
Yeah, I guess so. So I think we are still stuck with this, justifying this above and beyond approach. In the proposal, why is our approach significantly different than what people have been doing? And I think I see it, and we had a brief discussion the other day. So one of the answers what we had the other day, which is we are looking at the entire hierarchy and looking at problems like finger pointing, bottlenecks using existing metrics, and some of the metrics are potentially new, although they are not entirely new because we already published the wastage work. But using that wastage work to do finger pointing, I think that is one thing which we can potentially
hype up. The other thing that I thought was that whatever, for instance, the STEM paper has done only looks at two levels.
Hmm.
It doesn't talk about an entire hierarchy.
Yeah.
So when we are looking at a holistic view, all right, we at the micro level, we might be applying same or similar strategies, but then when you apply it to the whole hierarchy, the effect is very different.
Right.
It gives you a management handle to manage an entire hierarchy. And I think that's the only thing that you can sort of sell. You can always argue that the number of ideas are limited and that you're only going to recycle old ideas in some form or the other, which is in some weird broad sense may be true.
Yeah, I started reading the DIP paper where they talk about this core idea, which I also, I build upon this idea, but I go in a different direction, right? Which is what I was describing to you. So the LIP paper says that
you're going at the other end, a little beyond that LIP level, actually. Not even putting it at the LRU position. You're not even putting it in the stacks.
Yeah, because they're arguing that. I don't know. Have you read the LIP paper?
Not yet.
Okay, so the DIP paper, they talk about a policy called LIP in that paper, which takes LRU, and instead of when you have a miss, you add to the top of the LRU or make it more most important, you add it to the bottom. So that even if although you missed once, if you don't hit quickly again, you're going to be thrown away. Right? So you address
which sort of makes sense if this were only a pass through and it's not really significant.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to disturb whatever else is on the stack.
Right.
But now his question is, why do you even bother to put it in the least position? Why don't you just not put it there? Which you have an option when you're talking about these newer technologies.
When you have a cache that's not in the data pass,
so it makes sense. Yeah.
Then you have a choice whether to put an item that you missed on in the cache or not.
Yeah.
Right. So the motivation is based on a similar reasoning to LIP, but it's a different application. And I don't know if that qualifies for an above and beyond. I don't see it that way.
I think it is because the cache hierarchy is not just a plain hierarchy. It's there is a plain hierarchy, and then there are these additional caches, so to speak, which are not exactly in the data path that are additional. I'm not sure what the right phraseology is in your community, but it doesn't fit in directly in the hierarchy. It's on the side, so to speak.
Yeah.
So all that is part of the system.
Yeah.
And if we describe the system in this manner, saying it has these elements that look like a hierarchy, namely you have a small fast cache, and then a larger slower cache, and then an even larger slower cache, and so on and so forth. That is your regular hierarchy. And then you have some additional item, additional devices or additional storage media where you could optionally store things.
Right. These are the host side caches, right? Say flash caches on the host side, which do not fall in the conventional data paths.
And can that also have a hierarchy?
Potentially. So, for instance, people are talking about now host-side caches that are local versus remote. So you can store your data in your local host-side cache as well as a remote host-side cache. Hey, Daniel.
Hi. Sorry. With respect to the poster, I think it got your modifications.
It did? Maybe the one that I sent to Catherine didn't have it.
No, that's the one that I checked. I checked the one that you attached there. And the modifications that you pushed were there. I don't know if there were other modifications that you didn't push.
All right, let me check and get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry. Yeah. So there is potential hierarchy there as well. So your host side cache could be local or remote.
So then there could be multiple.
And there could be multiple. Remote caches, for instance, and they all share the property that they are not in the data path.
And it could be at any level of this hierarchy, right? I mean, if you draw this hierarchy as something like this,
Yeah, you can erase all of this if you want.
I just need this much. So if I think of this cache as something like this, larger and larger and slower caches, and here is your processor, I guess, and here may be some really slow and really large memory. Your whatever these other devices are, they could be at any place in this. It could be here, it could be here, it could be there. Right?
Theoretically, yes, but today's systems have it in one place.
But if you, for instance, you talked about hierarchy within here, then where would those be?
What I really mean is that there is a hierarchy here.
Okay. So I think, you know, we could draw the system in this manner and then talk about some unified way of handling this.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have, the figure that we have right now doesn't do that.
Well, if you want to add some tasks that involve these... these types of caches.
Yeah.
What is that cache called? That's just the SSD, sorry.
Yeah, host side SSD cache. So
then you also had this volatile versus non-volatile caches, right? So where does that fit in?
That's, I don't think that fits in it could potentially.
So that also is going to be on the side, just like this. So the side things could either be your SSD type devices or
it's the thing about the persistent memory is that it's very difficult to argue for a specific use case for that memory. If we say that it is there, then it will in a specific point, then it require a lot more justification around that. And the problem with any justification is that it's going to be based on predictions.
But if it is being used currently, how is it not being used currently?
Let's say it's not. Yeah, it's broadly it's not being used right now because the technology is not yet available. So it's too.
Perhaps it's not.
Then we are sort of crossing the boundary between what exists and what doesn't exist, and that makes it a little bit more challenging. But this auxiliary thing and there is motivation for this auxiliary, how to manage these caches differently, which is not to put items that are going to be reused less frequently than items in the cache, they're going to be reused with equal importance as items in the cache. Don't put them in the cache because the cache is already full. And by putting them in the cache, you're wasting cache bandwidth for caches that do not lie in the data path. And you have a choice whether to put them or not. Does this make sense to you, Lee?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I think this is new stuff that we have been thinking about. And the question is whether it makes sense to include this in the proposal.
I feel we have less criticism from the architecture folks when we submit this program versus what we tried last time. Right?
Mm.
Because the SHF is mostly the architecture people sitting on the panel, so they may pay more
SHF.
Attention. SHF, the Software Hardware Foundation. That's where we submitted last time, right? Last time.
No, last time. Didn't we submit to CSR?
We submitted to CCF, I believe.
Oh, CCF.
Yeah, that's how I remember.
Great.
Yeah.
I have the proposal right here. CSR.
CSR?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Okay. All right.
So, which means that we might get more criticism this time. Because
that's strange, because it looks like they didn't pay attention to this holistic picture. So it's mostly similar to.
Yeah.
That is okay. As I said before, once people don't like it, they find silly reason sometimes too. They don't want to spend the time writing it. I wouldn't bother with comments that we don't understand.
Okay.
You just have to depend on it. There's some amount of luck that's involved.
Of course, yeah. A lot of luck. It's a lot of luck.
No point in worrying about... To some extent, once I see a negative review, if there are fixable things, you bother with it. Otherwise, you just ignore it. Anyway, the committees change a lot, so you have to just hope for the best.
Yeah.
I guess it's the big question, how do we turn the proposal to match the theme of this program?
Exploiting parallelism and scalability, right? So I think my initial thought there is you have a lot of parallelism today in the form of compute cores, and one of the problems with exploiting that parallelism is cache contention, right? And the amount of overhead that providing cache coherence involves, and because multiple workloads can share a cache, that is, there is intra-cache interference. And
that's only relevant for caches that are shared between cores, not the ones that are attached to cores, right?
Yeah, even when you have intra-core caches, there are these hardware threads, right, which are sharing those caches. You could potentially schedule more than one process on a core that has at the same time with hardware multi-threading.
Right. So how do we argue this makes the problem significantly different?
How than
having this
makes the problem more different?
Significantly different.
Significantly.
Yeah.
Different
than just traditional.
And if you don't have so much parallelism.
Right. This one paper on this is related to data parallelism. It's called imbalanced cache partitioning for balanced data parallelism. Sounds brilliant. I haven't really read it closely yet.
Mm.
I think this may be something we can explore in that angle, because everything we proposed last time, they work for even just a few cores, right? There's also contention, and now say we have hundreds of cores. What make the problem significantly different?
I think one of the observations we make is that wastage is proportional to the square of the number of workloads that are sharing a cache.
Mm-hmm.
If you have more cores, there are more workloads
that
potentially share the cache. And therefore, there is a scalability bottleneck there because the dependency is super linear.
Mm.
And so you have to address that in some fundamental way.
Mm.
If you have fewer workloads, maybe it's not as big a problem. But as you keep increasing, the problem really becomes significant.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's... that may tie into the motivation and relation to the XPS program.
Yeah.
I know we talked about going beyond a single host and scaling to a cluster level, but I think there are many problems. One is we have very little time, and the other is even if we start including that, we're probably stretching ourselves too thin, reducing our depth. Right. So I think we are stuck with a single host for good or bad reasons. So then that was what I was thinking about, is that when you have more cores, you have more parallelism, and the cache interference problem becomes worse because of this quadratic wastage effect. But